My name is Kyle C, and today on the extended version of The Stoop, I bring you an episode that my generation can get on board with, relate to, and appreciate, especially growing up as a child in the 80s. We've all been through it. We've all shared and laughed about the times amongst our friends, almost as much as we've shared and looked back on our corporal punishment memories through our childhood. Licks, 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 boy, when your back's up. Licks, 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 boy, when your back's up. I'm talking about the days that you had when your closet was stacked with a bunch of shoes, and none of those names you even recognized, or sometimes could even spell. I'm talking about the shitty shoe era. And today, I'm gonna share with you my shitty shoe war stories. To the youngins listening right now, you little bastards had it good. Real good. 'Cause 25 plus years ago, I wanted to be in your shoes. No, like literally. I literally wanted to be in your f***ing shoes. Name brand shoes. See, today that might be a regular part of your daily lives that you take for granted, as well as your iPhone, your tablet, the flat screen in your bedroom, or whatever the hell else your parents got you for your birthday or Christmas, or for finishing seventh place in a basketball tournament that has eight teams. But you see, for my generation, getting a name brand shoe was a luxury. A luxury that was afforded to the elite. Or at least it felt that way. I have a better chance of winning the lottery right now than I did of wearing Nike Airs in the fourth grade. So today, I trade my shitty shoe war stories with Headley, the co-host of the VI Players podcast, as we get into the adventures of our childhood memories. When we rocked no-name, shitty-ass shoes that was as durable as a popsicle in a heat wave. We take you back through our repressed sneaker journeys down memory lane. It's The Stoop on South Shore Ave Radio. After all these years, man, I'm I'm still so f***ing bitter.
Fuck that shit, word. I'll fuck that other shit, you know what I'm saying? We gonna do a little something like this, you know what I'm saying? Stay up on this. Keep it on and on and on and on and, you know what I'm saying? Big Nas, Grand Wizard, what is it like? Ha, you know what I'm saying? Yo,
gang. Alright, so let me just paint the picture for y'all. I'm the product of Jamaican parents. I'm the first generation Canadian. First born of my siblings, my parents didn't give a rat's ass when it came to style, to what's in, even to damn comfort. To them, it was all about the price. And the price didn't even mean what's the best quality for your price. It just meant what was cheapest. And I was a kid that played every sport growing up. I mean, from playing ice hockey to playing handball. So let me give you what my repertoire in terms of my footwear for sports was. I had skates because I needed to have skates. I had cleats for soccer because I needed to have cleats. Every other sport, I had sneakers. And when I say sneakers, I had a sneaker. And I don't mean like a cross trainer. It could have been a running shoe. It could have been a basketball shoe. It could have been a tennis shoe. Those were all deemed cross trainers to my parents. Because it didn't matter what sport it was, if that was what was on sale that week, and it happened to be, a tennis shoe was on sale, or a basketball shoe was on sale, or whatever the case may be, that was what was going to be on my feet, and that was what I was going to do all sports in. So, and it wasn't like, once the grip was kind of fading a little bit, then we'll go out and get you a new shoe. To my parents, the time to get a new shoe is when you can see your socks. It had nothing to do in terms of the actual, like, give and take of your ability on the court or on the floor or whatever the case may be. It was basically if it was a hazardous. Like if my sole was gonna fall off, or if the lip of my shoe was coming out. At this point, if I walk in and it starts to rain, my socks will get wet. It was at that point where they're like, okay, you know what? Maybe it's about time we get you some new shoes. Calvin, I know you're laughing because it's the same way. I grew up, you know, I was, you know, middle class kid. I mean, we didn't want for nothing. You know what I mean? We had food on the table. Yeah. We had a roof over our head.
We weren't rich, but we weren't poor.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I didn't want for nothing, but put it this way, I didn't need anything, but there was a lot of things I did want. My parents weren't giving it to me.
Well, let me tell you. It was some very scarring mental memories that that we ended up getting because we lived the same life. So when we was like, so for example, for myself, when I was in first grade, second grade, third grade, I didn't really care about what shoes I had on, really. As long as it was sneakers and I had laces and rubber soles, I guess I was all right. I didn't really give too much credence to what was on my feet. But when I got to grade four, I'll tell you a story. So I got to grade four now. You started caring a little bit more about what you wore. Even though I was, 9 years old, the kids started making fun of your shoes a little bit. So I'll give you this quick story. I was at recess, right? It was raining. I'd never forget this. It was raining. It was indoors. St. Michelle Elementary School. It was raining. It was raining. All the kids was inside the gymnasium. We started playing basketball. And, you know, I was one of the better kids, back in elementary school or whatever. So I'm handling the ball. I'm pretending I'm Magic Johnson mixed with Isaiah Thomas. I'm cutting through all the kids, not only that's guarding me, but I'm cutting through the girls playing double dutch, the kids playing murder ball. Because, you remember, like, how when it rained, everybody was just doing everything in the gym. There was no, like, one event or one thing that you're doing. Everybody, whatever you were playing, everybody was playing it in that confined space. So we're playing full court between all these kids. Kids are playing soccer. You're dribbling through them. You're doing all this stuff. Hadley, I wanted to go do a layup, right? And this kid stepped on the back of my shoe. Dude, by the time I landed, my soul was in the middle of the key. Yo, wait. I'm not done. Next period, next recess again. We're playing basketball again. Same thing. I'm going through all the kids. Same thing. Da 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 da. Dribbling the basketball. I go to do another layup. This kid trips me up this time, and I stumble and fall.
Yo, is it the same kid?
No, a different kid. But Hadley, when I look behind me, there was my right sole. It wasn't attached to my shoe. Yo, so Hadley, I had like two pairs of booties, basically walking for the final end of school. I'll never forget this because the name of the shoe was Excalibur. They weren't, so you know they weren't no name brand. You remember Excalibur?
I remember Excaliburs, of course.
Yeah,
I had a few pairs of Excaliburs back in the days, and
yeah, some Sonics.
Excaliburs are actually.
I had some Sonics.
What was another brand?
Oh, there was another one. There was like Mikey's. There was everything, man. Like whatever shitty name you can think of. Trust me, I wore it.
You know what? I'll get to the shoes. I'll get to the stories in a second. But one thing I wanted to tell you about that I wanted to mention about the story that you're talking about with the shoes coming off. And that's the thing. At the core, our parents probably end up spending more money.
Oh, hell yeah.
On our shoes. Having to replace them every month, as opposed to just getting us a good pair of shoes
that could last a year.
That actually could last. The amount of times we had to go back to the factory to get new shoes, or go back to the store to get new shoes because of some kind of malfunction where the whole system just basically shreds on you. You should have just got yourself a decent pair of shoes.
But here was a joke, Eddie. I don't know if you remember when Nike first came out with the Air Bubble, right?
Yeah.
When Nike first came out with the Air Bubble, that was like the big thing back then. And I remember my mom came
oh,
home.
Oh, I got to say that one.
Okay, but my mom came home, I never forget this, with these navy blue and gray Sonics. And the Sonics had its own Air Bubble, right? But there was no plastic in the hole of the soul. So basically, it was just a cutout hole in the soul, Headley. Like three holes in the plastic.
I got a better story for you. I got a pair of shoes with some air bubbles. Calvin, not only was it not air bubbles, it was like a sticker. So you could actually peel off. It was like a fake bubble altogether, where you could actually peel off the bubble. It was just a regular sole underneath. So at least you got a bubble.
Yo, but Henley, but what made it worse, the shoe was Velcro. It didn't even have laces. It was just Velcro. I had the Velcros on top of the non-air bubbles.
Yo, talk about air bubbles. Remember back in the day in the sweet time of Nike, where every time if you had a defect with a shoe, you could bring it back to the manufacturers.
Oh, man.
And they'll send you a new shoe, and all you had to do, I mean, I think everybody knew, like, yo, you just use like a compass or a needle, and you just hit that ear bubble like in a corner somewhere, just enough so it's not visible, but all the air all the suction will come out.
Yep.
Brand new pair of shoes in the mail afterwards, yo. Yo, I must have killed that loophole for so many years. I lift off of one person of shoes and probably recycled it like 3-4 times.
So this is how like our story would end usually. By the time our shoes would get mashed up after a couple of months, especially after, you know, your rambunctious preteen playing recess and playing baseball and everything else. For us, everybody has their own store from the area. But for us, being that we're from the South Shore, we had two stores. We had Yellows and we had the Pit. And no, it wasn't the Pit from a different world where where you got the burgers from. It wasn't the Pit from a different world.
Anybody from the South Shore of Montreal knows what store we're talking about, Yellow and Pit, right off Castro in Greenfield Park. Everybody knows what we're talking about. And dude, not only that, I used to honestly shiver every time we'll get the circulation in the mail and Yellow and Pit was having another sale. And you just took just a matter of time before you turned into them stores, man. And the joke is, for people who don't know, these two stores were like side by side each other. So it was like my parents were salivating, because it's like they knew between these two stores I was coming out with something.
Oh, you're getting the shoe.
Yeah. If one shoe didn't have, if one store didn't have my size in the color I want, the next store would have it. You know what I mean? You weren't getting out of it.
But Andy, I'll give you a joke. My journey was this. Every time my shoe would self-destruct, we would take the bus to Greenfield Park. I used to live on Panama Street, which is about 10-15 minutes away from the auto park, where the bus terminal. So it was about a 10-15 minute walk. But the last major street right before the auto park was a street called Pelletier. So when me and my mother used to walk, Headley, it used to be one of three options. A, we're either going to the auto park and going downtown or wherever. B, we're either going to the Champlain Mall. Or C, if we stopped and we walked to the northeast corner of Pelletier and Panama, that meant we were taking the number 15 bus. And if we was taking the number 15 bus, we was going to Greenfield Park. So, yo, that whole walk, Headley, my heart would be like fluttering, because like I have a knot in my stomach, because I'm like, and my mother wouldn't tell me because she knew I hated this. So she would never tell me. So we would just be walking and I'm like, oh my God, please, please, let's not cross the street. And then we will get to the light, and yo, it was Headley. It was like I felt like OJ right before they announced the verdict. Like it's like my heart would be in my mouth. As soon as we were across the street, I'd have a last-ditch chance of saying, okay, well maybe we're going to Champlain Mall, and then we would cross to the northeast corner, and then we would stop. Yo, Headley, I would almost start crying. Because yo, because you have to understand, it wasn't just Yellow in the Pit. Listen. My mother loved making clothes. So if your mother was a sewer like mine was,
Yeah, that fabric mill right across the street there.
You had so. So that area right there was like, that was like the oasis for fabric. So basically,
yo, that place was huge, son.
No, Headley. Before, let me tell you. Before I even went to Yellow in the Pit, I did about an hour and a half at Fabricville, and then we crossed the street and went to Beauclair for another hour and a half. and then we will go to Yellow in the Pit.
Wait, Beauclair had textiles and stuff there too?
Yo, they had fabric just the same. It was just as big as Fabricland.
Well, I have to admit, at least my parents was into that stuff, because it sounds like your trip was double the time.
Oh,
than mine.
Man, yo, and Headley, to this day, if I drive by Greenfield Park, I shudder. Like I hated Greenfield Park for that, man.
But it's crazy because you dude, there'll be times I'll drive back as a grown man and be like, yo, how in this day and age are those stores, are they still there now?
I don't know.
Up until a few years ago, I was surprised that they were still there.
I don't want to know if they're still open or not.
Because in this day and age, where you can find, remember back in the day, what we paid for kicks, we're paying like top dollar. But now with all these discount stores and whatnot, you can find like name brand shoes for nothing.
Yeah, for like 30
for
bucks.
Like cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm like, how is these stores still? Who's going to these stores anymore?
I don't know.
It's like you always want to do arson and just like put this out of its misery for these kids, man. Like do a service for these youngsters.
You know when the Canadians like ever win the Stanley Cup again? You're not even going to St. Catharines. You're just running there and just smashing the store.
You're going straight there. how many kick me side you might be saving some kids from bullying by just putting those doors down?
Well, let me ask you, when did you get your first name brand shoe? I'll tell you my story, but I'll let you go first. When did you get your name brand shoe first?
Oh, dude, I remember that like it's yesterday. It was Labor Day weekend, 1989. We went to go visit my family in New York City. So we went to Flatbush or Jamaica Ave. I think it was Flatbush. We went looking for sneakers. I still remember, I think we paid like $50. And I got myself, of all name brands, Calvin. Let me start back. So I started high school, like, as you guys may not know, in high school in Quebec, you start from grade 7. There's no junior high. So I had, and school had started a week before. So I had gone to school for a week in high school, still wearing no brand shoes.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, dude. Yes. So I was like, yo, I was like, Ma, this gotta stop. I can't be going to high school looking like a straight herb. I'm in high school now, man. This is where life begins when you're a teenager. So Labor Day weekend, we end up going to New York. You know how it is in New York. You got the plastic all up on the shoes.
Yeah.
You gotta get your size in the back and all that stuff.
Right.
Dude, I got these white and red Avia shoes. I know there's some people that's going to be listening to this podcast don't even know what Avia shoes are and be like, yo, I thought this segment you're talking about your first name brand shoes. Yes. That was my first name brand shoes. And when I tell you that these were high top.
So who wore that shoes again? Was it Clyde? Was it Clyde Drexler?
Dude, I don't even know who wrote. All I know, I have seen people on TV wearing the shoes.
I think it was Clyde. I think it was Clyde Drexler.
It might have been. But yo, I'm telling you, these high tops made it to my shin. That's how high they were. And you know me, I was like 5'4" and maybe 130 pounds wet. Like my feet probably put a good 20 pounds on me, just how big these were. But I'll tell you one thing. When we came back from Labor Day weekend, when I came back from New York and I went back to school, yo, you would have swore I was wearing solid gold on my feet, Calvin. How I was walking the halls like I owned the spot. Yo. Like I was Omar. Bro, I'm telling you, and these were avias. You know what I mean? I think avias probably went defunct probably like 5 years later. But I was like, I didn't care, man. Yeah. It sure it beat Excaliburs and all those other stuff.
No, of course. I'll tell you my story. Towards the end of grade six, so right at the end of grade six, my brother, who I affectionately known in South Shore Ave as Big Brother Curtis, he came back home from college, and he brought me my first name brand sneaker. He bought me Headley. It was a blue and white Converse. Like, you know, I'm sure he probably went to Modell's and got it for like $30 or something, because he went to school in New York City. But even when we brought the shoes, it wasn't like the flyest shoes. But Headley, just the fact that it was a Converse. Like, it was a name brand shoe. Like, this, yeah. Like, dude.
And back then, Converse was huge, son.
Yeah, yo, dude, man. I thought, like honestly, you could have put a cape on me, man. Like, I felt like a superhero. Like, straight up. So, going into, like, Labor Day 1990, right? My mother's talking again, like, hey, we got to go to the store. I'm like, where are we going? We going to Greenfield Park. I said, Mommy, listen, I'm about to go into grade 7. I can't wear no name brand sneakers anymore. I'm gonna get bullied if I go to my first day of school wearing Excaliburs and stuff, because like, she wanted me just to save my Converse for special occasions. So she wanted to get like another shoe for me to wear so that, you know, so I'll preserve the Converse. And I'm like, Mom, I'm gonna get bullied if I go into seventh grade. You know, especially because at the time my birthday was late. My birthday in September late. So I'm like, I'm 11 years old going into the seventh grade with Sonics. I'm like, that can't happen. I got to wear these shoes. So it's shout out to my brother for saving me. Like, he basically saved my the life of my feet. And he probably saved me from a year of getting bullied. Can you imagine going into Centennial throughout the whole year with no-name sneakers? Like,
I did start high school with some no-name brands on my feet.
Yeah, but that was just for a week. It was probably a few days. Half the kids are probably weren't there. They probably sent the kid, you know, some of these kids probably went there after Labor Day. So you're probably okay in that aspect. But if you went into like September, October, November with Etonics on, Headley, you were getting beat.
Yo, I'll tell you that week felt like a month though.
And then the joke is, I think later that year, we went to Plattsburgh, and my parents, sorry, they got me these flights, Air flights. I'll never forget this. It was high cut shoe. Remember back in the like early 90s when fluorescent was in?
So I
got black. It was all black, and it was black with a touch of pink on him. Remember the flights they used to have the big F on the tongue?
Yeah. Kind of like in that cursive type writing.
Yeah, the fluorescent pink, the hot pink. Oh my God, yo, Headley, I used to tuck my pants in the back of my tongue just so everybody could see my shoes. Yo, man. After that, I retired the whole non-name brand life. After that,
all I remember is remember what ball when we had the fundraiser in order to get the Jordan. Yo, son. When Mr. Green came out and said, we're going to get Jordans.
Oh, my God.
Honestly, I think my heart skipped. Back then, Jordan to me is still the best player of all time.
Right.
And you're talking about Jordan in, that was what, 1990?
92 at the time? Yeah. So he was a mega god at that point.
That's what I'm saying. He's winning championships. Like, so when he was like, but I knew at the price tag, ain't no way in hell I'm gonna get that. But when he was like, okay, you could do this fundraiser and sell these oranges to get the price down, dude, I sold the most oranges on the squad. I hustled. Not only did I hustle, I have to give my father props, because he went and brought that stuff to his work and sold more oranges than I expected.
Yeah.
And then, yo, I must have circled my block 3-4 times selling them oranges after school to make sure I get those Jordans at a price point that I know that, okay, it's going to be a purchase. But when I put those shoes off for the first time, dude, I think I slept in them.
I think I
straight up. I think I went to bed with them on.
I know I had them right at the foot of my bed. I couldn't stop looking at them when I got them. And shout out to my pops too, God rest his soul. Listen, man, he was a combination of Stringer Bell and Walter White with the oranges, man, with the oranges and the grapefruits. He was moving keys of citrus. I'm telling you right
my pops did me well. I don't know what he did, but yo, when my father came back with that, you know what? It was one of those things like, yo, what do you get all this money for? I was like, I don't even care how you did it. It's like, let me just turn this in.
Yeah, I think by the time we actually had to like pay the difference, it was probably like $40. Even at that point, my pops was still like, $40? I'm like, yo, it's Jordans. I'm like, it's freaking Jordans. You know what? And at that point, he was like, all right, fine. But like, he was still semi like, man, I don't know if this this is too expensive. And I'm like, yo,
I would have stole from my parents if I was a kid. Good thing I had my paper route. I was like, it didn't really make no difference. I was getting these Jordans one way or another.
We have to give it up, though, because our high school, Centennial Region High School at that time, we were ahead of its time, man, when it came to certain things. That was one. Those Jordans, especially with the, I think it was the sixes with the hole in the tongue, and we had the maroon and white ones, too. So it wasn't like the regular ones. Like, it was the maroon and white ones. Like you see that as, like, a specialty coming back now. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, dude, our nephews
dude, and nieces I, are I was wearing at, them I was at Dixie Mall. And I saw them shoes. They had it for kid sizes.
Wow.
And as soon as I saw it, and I opened the box, a little smile and a little like tingling feeling came in because you're like, yo, these are the first Jordans I ever had.
Yeah. Yeah. And then between that and I think in grade 10, our team was the first ones to adopt that nylon. It was basically, we had the same uniform as the Fab Five. So the baggy, shiny, remember that? We had the baggy, like the maroon baggy, shiny suit type of, oh my God. Yo, we shut it down, man. Like, trust me, we were ahead of its time, man, when it came to certain things, for sure. On top of being like one of the best teams in the province, like we definitely, when it came to fashion, yo, we had it, man. Those Jordans and those unis, yo, it was a wrap. Every gym you stepped into, you're like, yo, because the whole squad had them. The whole squad had those Jordans. You know?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, we really look like a team.
Yeah.
And everybody spotted in the same shoes.
Everybody thought we were sponsored. Mind you, you know, we were, like I said, we was hustling oranges, like, you know, like we were trying to ship keys and move weight. But, you know, but they didn't need to know that. They didn't need to know that.
No. You know what I mean? Nah. They didn't know about the underground operation in order to get them shoes on our feet.
Stay in front of the curtain, not behind. Don't worry about what's going on behind the curtain.
But it's crazy when you look at our kids now. My eldest, I mean, he had his first pair of Jordans before he even turned two.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
I know.
It's like, only literally know how we had it. And obviously, again, as I said at the beginning, our parents were first, I mean, we were first generation Canadian. Our parents came from a different era. My parents, if they had shoes on their feet, that was a luxury.
Yeah, that was a blessing.
Exactly. They didn't give a shit in terms about who's the man behind it or who's the endorser or what the brand is. They didn't give a rat's ass about that.
Nope.
But, you know, with us being second generation, we grew up in this. We want our kids to look fly. Our kids don't care about what's on their feet at that age. It's really us, the parents.
Yeah, no,
at this point,
you know what I mean. It's true, it's true. But here, I'll touch on something real quick because I heard Kanye West a few weeks ago, you know, and he has his outrageously expensive Adidas shoes. I know they've caused a little bit of controversy. Some people like them. Some people are, you know, buying them because it's the hot thing of fashion. Some people think it's atrocious looking. You know, to each his own. Whatever your opinion is on them, but what I'll say is this. He had an interview where he was talking about one of the shoes he wants to come out with. He wants to keep the price point down and make it where, you know, it's affordable to kids that can't afford his shoes. So he wants to make some Adidas that are super fly, but they cost like $30-$40. Kind of similar to what Stephon Marbury did with his whole Starberry thing about 8-9 years ago. So he's trying to look at that. I think for that to kick off, And there's other, there's been other celebrities and athletes that has done it, but they've never looked fly enough that you wanted to support it. Unfortunately, you know, even though I like, I think the message and what they're trying to do, the direction they're trying to hit with going that route is absolutely amazing. But you know, when you're 15 years old, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon's got a shoe, but they're called the Hakeem Olajuwons. You're like, yeah, I'll pass.
No, but did he have a pair of, I thought he was with Spalding.
Oh yeah, he was with Spalding. That's right, he was with Spalding.
But, yeah,
but again, you weren't wearing Spaldings when you were.
That's all, yeah, at the end of the day. You know? But as you talk about having his own brand, the Ewins.
Oh yeah,
was
yeah.
The one dude who came with his own brand and made it.
Yeah, that was, he was the only one. World was
only
fly.
One. Yeah,
yeah. World was fly. A lot of us, especially back in the day with the click suits and the corduroy jeans and everything else, it went perfect with that. It lined no, up. Perfect.
You can still find like some throwback Ewins out there. Be like, yeah, those look kind of nice, man.
Yeah, but it's funny because with Starbury, like 8-9 years ago, I loved what he did because that was the whole what he combined with Stephen Barry's, the discounted stores and everything they had. It was like the huge department stores, and there was no item of clothing that cost more than $15, even the shoes. And the shoes were pretty good quality too. I supported it. I had a couple of pairs of sneakers and everything else. But back then, I think it could have worked when Starbury was like, see, if Starbury did that when he was in Minnesota or when he was still a star at that time, I think that could have, I would have been interested to see how much that would have blown up. But, you know, back at that time, you know, he's eating Vaseline. You know, remember remember that point where he was kind of going a little off his rocker? He tattooed his head. Like Mike Tyson, you know, so it's like at that point, you're like, you know, it didn't take off like the way it should have. But I thought it was a great message of what he was trying to do. But then after that, with the whole financial crisis and everything in 2008, they had, like Stephen Barry's ended up folding. But it wasn't just him. Venus Williams had her own line. I think it was called 11s. Sarah Jessica Parker had her own line in that store called Bitten. Bubba Watson had his own golf line. Ben Wallace had his own shoe line under the Starbury brand. There was a few celebrities. I think even Sierra, who at the time was with Roc Nation, she even was trying to put together a clothing line with Stephen Barry's as well. So it was heading in a good direction. I think what happened was they oversaturated the market. Like they grew too fast. They put out too many stores too fast. Because I remember reading it. They in a span of 3 years, they had more stores combined than like JCPenney's, Walmart, all these different, like the Gap, everything else, like combined. So like I think they grew too fast, and then when the whole financial crisis hit like 8-9 years ago, they ended up going under bankruptcy, and that was the end of that. And nobody's ever really been able to come and take that market since.
Remember back in the day when every time like a new Jordan was released, you would see and watch television coverage where they would actually have like a midnight
release. Yeah.
Even when I used to, back in the day, when I used to work at Athletes World, you know what I mean? Shout out to Athletes World back in the day, because that definitely kept my pockets fat, and at the same time getting shoes at a discount,
right,
up in the one in Eden Center in Montreal. But so you know, we used to see when, you know, we get the shoes early, but we couldn't put it out until like a certain date. And I remember people would be coming in and say, yo, do you got the new Jordan? You got the new this? And be like, yeah, we have it, but we can't release it to this date. But in the States, it was so huge that they would release it at midnight. You know what I mean? Just to make sure that they didn't get any, I guess, repercussions from Nike. But at the same time, to be the first ones to have it. So, they had all the attention and all the, I guess, the market going to that store. And you would see like lineups where people be lining up for hours, you know, lining up for a concert or the Apple phone now, but this was for sneakers.
Yeah.
And then on a sad note, you're hearing kids getting, you know, mugged, sometimes
shot,
even murdered,
killed, yeah,
just to get the Jordans off their feet. That's the whole other spectrum when you talk about having, you know, affordability. But then, I mean, these Jordans, they're on the other echelon, because these are like a few, you know, a couple hundred dollars.
Yeah.
And it's crazy now, because you will see someone like, you know, the Kobe's or the KD's or LeBron, and these stuff are like north of
like $200. Yeah.
No, dude, it well surpassed $200.
I'm just talking on average. I'm just talking on average. You're looking at it.
Well, exactly. But before 200, that was the high end. Exactly. You know, that might be about average if you talk about high end shoes, and like at the top tier, you know, you could be spending $400 with the tax for a pair of sneaks. And as you said, for the average, you know, we're grown man. One, we could afford it if we wanted to. Two, at the same time, we're not as infatuated or as taken aback by all this marketing with this. But when you look at a 14, 15 year old looking at one again these kicks, where they can't afford that, certainly not at that price. And some of them, it's a whole kind of status thing. So I mean, they feel a ways if they can't get it, and you feel for them, because in this day and age, I mean, it's tough to be a teenager now.
Yeah.
With social media and cyberbullying and peer pressure and all the stuff that comes along with, as opposed to when we were kids. Mm-hmm. And God knows how it's going to be in 10, 15 years when our kids are going through that mess. But it just shows, like, you go from one generation, our parent generation, who couldn't care less, to now it's like you couldn't dare put, I mean, even the nerds are going to have at least a pair of Brooks or Secutis on or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but even then now they're wearing Nikes too. They probably got on Jordans too, you know. But it's funny, for that Starberry effect to work, in terms of keeping the price point down, I think somebody major is gonna have to do something like that. I mean, Kanye can maybe pull it off. I guess we'll have to see what kind of design it is. But if somebody like a LeBron or like a Durant, or even like a Steph would come and do that. And I heard Steph might be doing that, although I'm not sure if it's the Curry Lows, though. But I heard he might be looking into
possibly doing that. No, the Curry Lows could be it right now, though.
Yeah.
Like, straight up.
but you know what, though? But I'm hearing that there's rumors that he's looking to kind of do that down the line, you know, within the next year or so. So that, it could be interesting. But I think it has to be a superstar that's hot right now to do it. You know, I think they're doing
it. Yeah, but you know what? Off. Like, you'd love to see it happen, but are they really going to take that kind of hit? Because potentially three or four of a certain price point for them to get the same revenue in their hands. Unless they really feel like the mass market would really go to it, it's hard for me to see a superstar in their prime doing that approach. But hey, it would be great if they did.
Yeah, but
it'll save some parents some money.
But I think how they're doing it is it's not necessarily like they're going to just keep all their shoes down. Their shoes are still going to be the same price, but one of their additions might be like, you know, 30-40 bucks, you know what I mean? So they're still going to have their shoes where it's 150, 200, 300 bucks, but they're going to have one, or in Kanye's case 600 bucks, but there's going to be like one shoe there's going to be one shoe that's going to be at least like 30-40 bucks that's affordable, you know what I mean? So out of all of the additions, like, one of them is going to be, the price point is going to be kept low on it. So, you know, well, like I said, but I think it has to be somebody like that that has to do it. And as Kanye said, it has to be fly. Because otherwise, if it's not fly, then why would you do it, I guess, right?
Exactly. Because at the point, most people, when you think about cheap shoes, it usually looks whack. Unless you go to, like, a Nike clearance store and you get in, like, an older model type thing.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'll leave you with this last question. Now, if you were to do it all over again, could you see yourself doing that again? Would you change, if you can go back and change time, like in terms of getting name brand shoes, would you go back and change the time, or is it like, can you do that again, or like live the life of wearing no name brand or non name brand shoes, or was that experience too mentally scarring for you to ever go back to that? Like, if you can go back in time, I should say.
I mean, if I go back in time, of course I don't want it, but I want my name brand shoes. But I think going through that during that time and era is not like the same thing as going through it now.
Right.
Because back then, there was a lot of us that didn't have name brand shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like a luxury to have name brand shoes. As I said, a lot of times I saw my classmates in pit and yellow with me. So it wasn't as, I mean, it's traumatic because the shoes sucked. You know what I mean? Especially for kids who are into sports, when you want some good kicks. Ain't nothing better than having a good pair of shoes on your feet. But at the same time, there's a lot of them going through the same struggle. I mean, as they say, the strength in numbers, right? Would I want to go through that? Hell no. Why would I want to? I want the good brands. But it ain't nothing like going through it now. On a different note, just look at how shoes on eBay be going for.
No.
You remember when? Remember when Drake came out with his OVO sneaker, yeah, and apparently he had a it was a giveaway. And to this day, I don't know if this was true or not, but somebody said it got sold on eBay for
it was like 100,000 or some craziness like that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it necessarily went that high, but just the mere fact that a pair of sneakers. Just regular sneakers can go for thousands of dollars. And then just more recently, I just heard he made a special edition OVO gold-plated sneaker.
Yeah,
is retailed at like, that's worth like 20 G's.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you where the whole market of sneakers is completely different today than it was back in the 90s. When we were going through it, or the 80s when we weren't going through it because we couldn't get our parents to get us those shoes. To answer your question, going through it in the 80s, I could do it again. I wouldn't want to, but I would never want any child to go through it now. I'm not saying for them to necessarily spend hundreds of dollars, but get them some proper kicks, or at least they ain't going to be bullied at school.
Well, and not just that, but their shoes aren't going to be, their soles aren't going to be flip flapping in the wind like mine were, you know, like in grade 5, you know, because I had an episode too where I was walking down the hallways and my shoes sounded like slippers, like flip 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 flop flip 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 flop, because somebody stepped on my shoes again, but the soles didn't quite rip, you know, because it was like the thin soles, so the soles didn't quite rip, so it was just both sides were just flip flopping back and forth. It was like I was wearing slippers, but.
Dude, there's been times where you know where you have that thin sole on the bottom.
Yeah. Oh so yeah. Not, oh off. Yeah. So that always tore off.
That, yeah, it tore off. But yo, dude, have you ever tripped because that thing is half off? So when you walk in, it folds underneath you.
Yes. Yes, I have.
People who gone through the trauma will know exactly what I'm talking about.
But let me say this though. I guess to answer my own question, I don't know if I necessarily would change a thing, because if anything, those days kind of taught me to basically appreciate what I have. So by the time I got to wearing name brand shoes, Headley, like I took care of my shoes. Like even to this day, I have sneakers that honestly I bought like 6 years ago that I can still pull out the box and they're in mint condition. And by no way, shape, or form am I some sort of sneaker fiend. You know what I mean? But it's like, when I got to a certain stage and I started getting name brand shoes on a regular basis, from my basketball shoes to just my regular casual shoes, I appreciated them, man, because I remember those days when, like I said, like I came home with booties, like I had no soles under my feet, you know, literally, you know, like your socks, you know, are touching asphalt. So it's like, it kind of appreciated, like I appreciate it more. And I'm sure those experiences have something to do with it. But I'll tell you what, I bet you the sneaker revolution, Headley, had a lot to do with kids like us. So you know what you see guys now, and these guys, everybody's, you see certain guys and they're buying every edition of Jordans. Like they'll go to like state to state, province to province, go on auctions online, buying, you know, the kicks for $500, because they're back in the day, they were like us. They couldn't get any. So now that they're adults, we're just overkilling the game right now. So
I don't need to go through that experience again to appreciate it. Forget that. let me get my sneakers properly.
But I tell you, next time I go to Montreal, I think I might actually have to just to take a drive just to see what's actually inside, and then maybe flip over a rack while I'm walking out of the store. Just
yo, if the store is still there, man, throw a rock in the window for me. Put my name on it too.
Yeah,
but you know what's crazy? Wait, one thing I want to touch on what you're saying, because I also think that that's probably a reason, because you see a lot of guys in the NBA now. And actually, I actually just finished reading a story about is it Damian Jones? Some guy where he basically has a storage locker of like 400 rare Jordans. And to make a long story short, apparently he didn't pay his bill. And it was over like, literally over like a couple hundred dollars, because he changed wrong credit cards, and they end up auctioning off.
No.
they end up auctioning off. I can't remember who it was. They end up auctioning off like half of the Jordan.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, dude. And I felt for him, because it probably took a lifetime for him to get that kind of collection, especially if they're rare finds and stuff like that.
Yeah, rare editions.
But as you said, a lot of guys in the NBA grew up with nothing. You know what I mean? Where they probably only had one pair of shoes. And now, with this influx of cash, it's like they're almost kind of like redoing that childhood and be like, yo, now I'm going to buy every pair of shoes that I want. And then, as you said, as you know now, not only is it getting the shoes, but then you can get them personally customized. You can get them color coordinated to what you want.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, the sneaker industry in a whole, there's so much layers and so much money to it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Where it's gone from A to Z, from where it was back in the day, where you just wanted something that was recognizable. Now it's like sneakers is like high end shoes now.
Yeah.
So that kind of level.
You know, back in the day, as you said, it would be like one shoe that would come out. Like, so if Jordan came out with a shoe, it would be one shoe. And that would be maybe it would be like three or four different colors, but that was basically it. You know, unless you went to the States, and sometimes they would have different editions of colorways that, you know, you couldn't get here. But now, you know, with the internet and everything else shrinking the world down, like, not only are there so many different sites where you can get them customized, and, you know, and sneaker fiends that are like customizing your joints for you. When an edition comes out now, there's so much colorways that just Nike itself is putting out. Or even like Under Armour for Curry. Like Curry 2s comes out, and there's like 15 different editions and colors and different things that you can do with it, right? So it's like, it's just crazy. It's crazy where it's at now. But like I said, I bet you this whole sneaker industry, where it really beefed up was people like us. Like, yeah. they're just going to these stores and these auctions like, never again. Never again. And they're just buying everything up. Like, you know, they don't ever want to relive this again.
You think of it, Jordan hasn't played a game in a decade. Yet you got kids who are buying his shoes, and the only time they've ever seen him play was on YouTube. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the Jordan market of sneakers by itself, the catalog of Jordan by itself, I think mushrooms Nike in itself.
Itself. I'll give you a quick story, Haley, before we go. One of my nephews, it was Elijah, I believe. I remember he came to me about probably like last year, about maybe 2 years ago. I remember he came, Haley. He had the sixes, like what we had in high school. And he came and he looked at me. He was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I got the sixes. And I was like, oh, those are nice. He's like, yeah, I got them. I'm like, yeah, you know, I had those in grade eight, right? And he just got quiet, and he didn't believe me, so I had to go pull out a photo, and show him the picture, and he was like, "Oh my God, you really had those!" Actually, I think it's on my Facebook. Actually, like I have a picture of me like in Niagara Falls in grade eight, and I had those, like, you know, standing by the falls. I had those shoes on, and he was like, "Oh my gosh!" Like it was the same shoe. He had the same shoe, but that's the crazy thing. And I know he never watched Jordan play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the crazy thing.
The mere fact they're recycling that from so long ago, and it's still hot now.
Yeah, that's the incredible thing.
Better than a mutual bond, yo.
Yeah. But on that note, you know, just to close off, yeah, like I said, if I go to Yellow's and I walk into the store and I flip over a couple of racks and I do what you say and I put your name on the rock and I throw it through the window, if I get arrested, I'm giving up your name. Just telling you that right now.
Yo, just tell them I'm doing a public service, yo. It's a public service to put those stuff out of work. Honestly, I think we do a Google Maps right now and see if that store is still there.
No, I don't want to do it. I just want to drive by it one day. I just want to drive by one day and just see it there. But I honestly might walk in there and just ask to speak to the manager and just cuss off the manager. The manager, I have no idea why I'm cussing them off. But I'm going to do it anyway.
But you know what? It's good. It's probably a good thing they're around, because I probably would have walked around barefoot if it wasn't for them.
Yeah, exactly. So
because my parents weren't going to up the, the budget. The budget was the budget. If I couldn't find something in the budget, I don't know what was going to happen to me.
Yeah, that's too bad for you.
We were playing ball in church shoes.
And wing tips with the little dazzles on top of them, right?
You know what I mean? Just scratching up the gymnasium.
Anyways, get off my stoop, man. Let's be out.
All right, yo. I'm out.
All right.
Get some lemonade.
All right, just make sure you use the red cups this time. The red ones! I'd like to thank all of you for listening to the extended version of The Stoop today. This ended up being a full pod, but, you know, it was kind of needed. It was therapeutic. I needed to get some things off of my chest, and getting those memories out was cleansing. I'd like to thank Headley for sharing his stories with us today as well. It's important that we share sometimes. I know some of you went through those days too, just like us. Don't keep those things bottled inside. You got to release that pain sometimes, people. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and the blog by clicking on the follow button right here on SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. Make sure you subscribe and also click onto the RSS feed. Once again, I appreciate all of you for listening to the show today. My name is Cal C. And this is The Stoop on South Shore Ave Radio. Until the next podcast, folks. Peace.